Hey everybody, welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen and today is February 1st. So let's continue on with this week's Come Follow Me blog. I was planning on moving on from the temptations of Jesus Christ today, but I found a quote today that I really loved and shined a new light on how we can overcome temptation from the example of Jesus Christ. Elder Joseph B. Worthlin once said, "Willing obedience provides lasting protection against Satan's alluring and tantalizing temptations." So let's keep in mind, what was Jesus Christ doing before the temptations? First of all, he had gone to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness, right? He was baptized to show perfect obedience to our Father in heaven, and that obedience gave him power. From there, he went into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and for 40 nights and to spend that time with God. That obedience gave him power. Oftentimes, when we think about the temptations of Jesus Christ, we think that either he wasn't tempted or it wasn't much of a temptation, that because he was who he was, that temptation was just kind of a fleeting thing for him. But I don't think we should view it that way. In fact, Alma chapter 7 teaches us that he went forth suffering pains, afflictions, and temptations of every kind. Not just the fleeting kind, not just the easy kind, but temptations of every kind, including the difficult kind. Doctrine and Covenants section 20 verse 22 says, "He suffered temptations, but gave no heed unto them." It doesn't just say he experienced brief temptations. He suffered temptations. They were difficult, but he had power to overcome them. Not just because of his lineage as our Father in Heaven's Son, but he had power because of his willing obedience, which provided him with lasting protection against Satan's alluring and tantalizing temptations. And my friends, the same can be true for us. As we obey our Father in heaven, as we put forth all our efforts to show strict obedience to God's commandments, we are given power and protection against the influences of the adversary. Another quote that I came across today teaches us another example about how Christ overcame temptations that we can apply into our lives. Elder Maxwell said, "Jesus noticed the tremendous temptations that came to him, but he did not process and reprocess them. Instead, he rejected them promptly. If we entertain temptations, soon they begin entertaining us." I love how he says that. Isn't that classic, Elder Maxwell? If we entertain our temptations, pretty soon they will begin entertaining us. So we can learn from Christ's example of how quickly he dismissed them. All of us will experience temptations, but what do we do with them? Do we stew on them? Do we process them and reprocess them? Or do we quickly dismiss them? Elder Packer once said, "We can't help it if a bird lands on our head, but we don't have to let it make a nest." We can't help the temptations that come, but we don't have to entertain them. We don't have to process them and reprocess them. We can dismiss them as quickly as they come, and by doing so, gain power against them. Okay, now I'm done talking about the temptations of Christ. So let's move over to Luke chapter 4. The beginning of Luke chapter 4, we're going to get a very similar story that we see in Matthew chapter 4. We're going to see those temptations, but we're going to get a little bit more of the story or the what happens after in Luke chapter 4. Starting in verse 13, so that we get a little bit of a timeline here, it says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." I think that that's really interesting because when we talk about the temptations of Christ, oftentimes we just talk about this story. But notice it says he departed from him for a season. The adversary wasn't done with the Savior, and the Savior wasn't done showing forth his efforts and power in resisting those temptations. It was a continual effort for the Savior, just as it's a continual effort for us. Verse 14, it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee." I love that phrase. He didn't just return to Galilee, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Everywhere Christ went, he went with the power of the Spirit. And he could do that because he had paid the price for that. Oftentimes we desire to have the Spirit go with us wherever we go, but are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to do our part to obtain that Spirit and to keep it with us? Now, obviously, Christ had just paid the price in this 40-day fast. Fasting provides us with strength and with power. In fact, I'm sure that part of Christ's strength in resisting the temptations of the adversary came from that fast. Remember in Isaiah chapter 58, when Isaiah is teaching us about a true fast and the purposes of a true fast? Verse 6, he says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free?" One of the gifts, one of the blessings of the fast is power to loose the bands of wickedness, which includes power to resist temptation. Elder Worthland once said, "Fasting, coupled with mighty prayer, is powerful. It can fill our minds with the revelations of the Spirit. It can strengthen us against times of temptation." And so here, following this 40-day fast, the Savior returns to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Listen to this quote by President Benson and how he talks about the fast preparing us for our holy purposes. He says, "If you want to get the spirit of your office and calling as a new president of a quorum, a high counselor, a new bishop, or a relief society president, try fasting for a period. I don't mean just missing one meal, then eating twice as much the next meal. I mean really fasting and praying during that period. It will do more to give you the real spirit of your office and calling and permit the spirit to operate through you than anything that I know." And so here, as Christ is beginning his ministry, as he's beginning his work upon the earth, as he's beginning his quote-unquote calling, he prepares for that with a 40-day fast. And as President Benson teaches us, this period of fasting can do more for us to allow the Spirit to operate through us than anything else that he knows of. And so here, as Christ has prepared himself with this 40-day fast and then goes and returns to Galilee to begin his ministry, and as he returns to the area of Galilee, his kind of home area, he is filled with the power of the Spirit. And that was going to be necessary as he began this ministry there in Galilee. But notice what it says about him in verse 14. It says, "And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." And so here he is in the area of Galilee, not necessarily Nazareth yet. We're going to see in the next verse when he enters into Nazareth. But here he is in the areas around Nazareth in Galilee, and the fame is kind of going around about him. People are talking about him. People are talking about his experiences. Now, John had prepared people for him. And so perhaps they had heard from John and they were talking about that. Maybe they had been there, been present at his baptism when they saw the Holy Ghost descend in the form of a dove. Maybe they had been present as he spoke and taught in these synagogues. Maybe they had been in his presence and experienced and felt the power of the Spirit. Something that I've always found really, really interesting is in Nephi's vision, when he sees Christ's life, everything is in chronological order. He starts and he sees his birth. He sees his baptism. He sees his ministry. He sees his death. But in between his birth and his baptism, look at what it says. He says, "I beheld the Son of God going forth among the children of men, and I saw many fall down at his feet and worship him." Now that was before his baptism. So there were people in the land, people who met him, who knew him, who experienced him, who could recognize him for who he was, people who fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Maybe he had worked miracles prior to his baptism that we don't have recorded. Maybe he had taught in ways that had prepared people for him that we just don't have recorded. But for whatever reason, people knew him. They knew of him. There was, as the scripture says, a fame of him throughout the region round about. But my friends, now he's going to go to Nazareth, to the people who saw him born and raised, saw him taught by a carpenter, knew his mother Mary, and that's going to be a different experience for him. But my friends, it's my belief that if the people of Nazareth would have opened their hearts to feel the power of the Spirit that followed the Savior, they would have received him differently as he proclaimed to be the Messiah. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.